Today we continue our series in the book of James. And I don't always ask you, but today I'm really asking you to open your Bibles. You can go look at the Pew Bible, page number 1229 for James 2. James 2, begin with verse 14. This is a passage that has had confusion for generations. When Martin Luther got to this section of James, he wanted to tear the book of James out of the Bible. He called the book of James an epistle of straw. And the reason he thought that was because Martin Luther had been reading about Paul and some of his epistles and some of the things that Paul has to say. And Paul says that you're saved by faith apart from works. And so today we are going to look at the relationship of faith to works. It's critical for us to understand this passage. Paul says that faith alone saves. And James says, faith without works is dead. James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Now, anytime we open God's word and we look at the scripture, we have to not do what many people do. And that is they pull and pluck verses out of the Bible, rip it out of its context, and use it for the way they want to use something. And so James, the book of James, again must be read in its context. Interpreting the Bible means that you have to look at context, because context is king. What James is saying is faith without works is useless for the progression of our faith. Paul says that you cannot add works to faith. James says, if you do not add works, you cannot be saved. Two things in the same book of the Bible, in the same Bible, saying in some ways two different things. Well, how do we then marry these two together? And the key is in the context when he addresses my brothers. I believe the difference is this. Paul, in his epistles, is showing us or telling us how sinners can become saints. James explains how saints can become sanctified. Paul is telling us how we get from earth to heaven. James is explaining how we take heaven and bring it back down to earth. Paul is explaining and determining where you're going to spend your time in eternity. And James is explaining how you're going to experience eternity here on earth. This already but not yet experience. So Paul is talking to one group, and James is talking to another group. But what James wants to say in chapter 2, verse 14 is this, that merely mouthing the words, but without actions to back them up, is useless. You can say, I'm a good basketball player. Or you can say, I'm the best quilter in Camp Hill. But unless you demonstrate that you are a good basketball player, or you show your handiwork as a quilter, the proof is in the showing. If not, James suggests, Your words are no more than a bunch of meaningless blunder or blabber. Real faith is not just something you say. Then he goes on in verse 15, he says this, well, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Let me flesh this out with an example this morning. I got a call last week from someone who needed something very basic. I get a lot of calls about things that people need. But this is from a person that I have a relationship with. And this person needed not water, not food. This person needed toilet paper. I was waiting for a laugh, but no one laughed, which I don't want you to laugh, but it was okay if you laughed. This person has a severe bowel issue. Based on my understanding of James, or not my understanding of James, this is what I should do. I went to his house, and I walked up the door, and I knocked on the door. And he came to the door. And I said to this person, and I took my Bible, not toilet paper. I took my Bible. It was paper, but it was the Bible. I took my Bible, and I started reading scriptures to this man. And I told him that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I quoted things out of the Bible about Jesus. I said that Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus is the person that can make things happen in your life. And then the guy said, oh, can you pause for just a moment? Yeah, I have to go to the bathroom. So he heads to the bathroom. Waiting, waiting, he finally comes back. And I continue. And I start telling him about how wonderful Jesus is. And he already knows this, but I want to tell him those things. And I say, now can I pray for you? And so we pray. And I say, God, we know that you can supply all of my needs. Be with this dear brother right now. Help him. Let him see your love and give him hope. And then I said, and I shook his hand, and I said, have a great day. This gentleman, he didn't need a few scriptures. This gentleman did not need me to pray over him to tell him how God can supply all his needs. What this gentleman needed was toilet paper. And so I took him many, 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 many rolls of toilet paper. And no, I didn't bring my Bible and say all those things to him. You see, I believe that many times we have the right information, but we don't produce the right action. And James suggests, if that's really the case, then maybe we're just wasting our time. Do you realize that every Sunday, you come up this hill, you walk through those doors, and you sit down, and you take in all kinds of information? And then you walk back through and you might say something about the sermon or Ohio State game or something like that. And you come through and you say, oh, I really needed that. Maybe we have way too much information and not enough action. He goes on, he says in verse 17, He says, in the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. He seems to suggest that these works, these actions, energize. It's like putting cables on your car that is dead, and you put cables on from another car or some other source to energize. There was an action that happened for energy to take place. Because Paul seems to suggest that without this action, our faith shrinks. So he goes on, he says, so if real faith is not something you say, then is it something you feel? Maybe we just need to feel more as Christians. Maybe we need to sympathize more with others. And James would suggest that feeling for someone does not exhibit our faith. I like the cartoon, the penis cartoon one on this one, where Charlie Brown and Linus are inside all bundled up, and Snoopy's out in the cold shivering in front of an empty dog food bowl. And Charlie and Linus are having a conversation how sad it is. It's so sad. Just look out there. Look how sad it is that I'm just feeling for Snoopy because he's hungry and cold. And they look at each other and say, you know, we ought to do something about that. So they walk outside and they say to Snoopy, Snoopy, be of good cheer. I wonder where Charles Schulz got this idea. Could it be from the book of James? If real faith is not something you say or something you feel, then is real faith something you believe? If you look in verse 19, it says this. But someone will say, you have faith. I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is a one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now, verses 18 and 19, to me, suggests that there was an objector to James's argument. That someone raised their hand and objected to what James was saying. And what often happens in the Bible is we don't know a lot of times what the question is, but we do try to figure out the question by the answer that is given. It seems to suggest this objector does not agree that faith and works are married. The objector is saying, James, I know you're an apostle, but I just don't buy it. I don't think there's a connection between faith and works. Works do not prove anything. And he says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. The objector is saying, not James, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. And what the objector is saying to James is this, that you cannot just suggest, James, that belief and works are tied together because people can believe something and have two different works that come out of that belief. And he gives the example of this. He says, look around, the objector says to James, look around. These people around you believe in God. Believe that there is one God. Right? And everyone's shaking their head. Yes, yeah, yes. Okay. Well, even the devil, even the demons believe in one God. And so the objector is saying to James, but look what happens to the response. Look what happens to the works of someone who believes. He says, one believes and does good. One believes in this one true God, but look at the works of the devil and the demons around us. And so the objector is saying belief and works are not connected. James, you cannot correlate this together. And then verse 20, James speaks again, and he says this. He doesn't mince words. He says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" James is suggesting that this faith and our works are married, and the reason they're married is because of the usefulness of that. It would be like in your home having a dishwasher. And you come in and you say, "Everyone, hey, look at my dishwasher. Isn't this dishwasher beautiful? It is amazing dishwasher. It cleans and sparkles. Everything that comes out is just squeaky clean. This is amazing, amazing dishwasher. But every day, instead of putting the dishes in the dishwasher, you put the dishes in the sink and you wash it by hand. This dishwasher, though it has value and is so good, appears to be useless because it's not been put into use." And so it suggests that if faith is not something you say, or it's not even something you feel, or it's not something that you believe, then what is real faith? And James says that faith without works is dead. He's saying that faith cannot ride solo. And there has to be a synergy, a partnership with faith and action. And then James, to the objector and to all of those who are thinking about Paul and some of his writings, and then James comes along and says all these things, and their heads are messed up, and they're trying to figure all this out. James says, "I'll tell you what. Let me give you a couple examples. Since you gave me an example, I'm going to give you a couple examples too." He says, "I'm going to give you examples that the results of works, faith is being perfected." And he gives two stories in the Old Testament. The first one is Abraham, and the second one is Rahab. The first one is a patriarch, and the second one is a prostitute. And he says this, "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed, Genesis 15:6, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." He says, "Okay, Abraham. You guys all know Abraham, right? You say, oh, you know Abraham?" They're, yeah, everyone knows Abraham. "You remember the story? The child of promise, Isaac. And then God told Abraham that he's supposed to sacrifice Isaac. And in one of the most heart-wrenching moments in the Bible for me, one of the gut-wrenching parts for me in the Bible, where faith and action collide at the same time, is in these words when Isaac says, Daddy, the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" As a father, that would have just ripped my heart out. And Abraham gave an answer, and they went up. And you know the story, that before he was told to kill Isaac, at the last moment, he pulled away. And Abraham was credited and saved back in Genesis 15. But how that fleshed itself out, how that became something more, how his faith was tested and he became mature in his faith is when he believed in God and trusted him. His faith was perfected by his action. And then he gives another example. He says, Rahab, the prostitute, the story of Jericho. And these spies came to Rahab, and Rahab takes them in. When she takes them in some ways, it's the process of believing in God, in their God. And the spies were there, and then she hid the spies from the people that were looking for her, for them. At that moment when she did that, she believed. Gather all your relatives, the spy said. Gather all the relatives. This is what we're going to do for you. Gather all the relatives and put them in this place. And when the walls of Jericho fall down, everything will fall, but you will be saved. Because of her practical obedience, because putting her faith into works when she sent the spies out another way, James is saying that faith cannot ride solo. And then he goes on. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And then he concludes with this, that wraps it all together, verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Could you imagine here with me this morning? There's a casket. There's been many caskets that have sat here during a funeral service from one of our beloved. And when that casket sits here, the body is dead. And the reason the body is dead is because a spirit is no longer there. There's a body, but the Bible tells us without the spirit, there is nothing but just the body. In the same way, James is saying, faith without action is like having a body without the spirit. What the spirit is to the body is what deeds are to our faith profession. And James is saying, I know what Paul said, and I know I have objectors in the crowd, but hear me out. James is saying that my words and Paul's words are not different, but they are to two different audiences. Paul's words, a lot of times, was going from earth to heaven, and James was trying to bring heaven down to earth to how we can actually flesh out our faith. And Paul says, faith cannot ride solo. And then I'm going to conclude with these words from Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 10, 8 to 10. Because I think these words, in many ways, marry together Paul and James. It says this, Ephesians 2, 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then here's James, little words of James. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so today, as you leave, think about that marriage. Because maybe some of us are single. Single one side or single the other side. But we marry these two things together. And as we go out these doors and to our communities and our people that we interact with. Remember that faith cannot fly solo.